Blog Talk Radio.
Justice system. As soon as the latest charges against former U.S. President Donald Trump were announced, Trumpist acolytes began making claims about a two-tiered justice system, ostensibly against Republicans. Such a claim can only be made by those who are blind, deaf, or dumb, they seemingly are blind to the many black and browns who have peopled the phenomenon known as mass incarceration for at least a half a century under the auspices of the war on drugs. They are deaf to the cries of the millions of families who have suffered the human costs of mass incarceration. And they are dumb to the many who suffered from solitary confinement that left them mentally ill from what the United Nations Special Rapporteur on International Human Rights, Juan Mendez, called torture. If these quasi-fascists had talked about a three-tier justice system, that would be one thing. That's because they ignored the immense suffering of generations. For indeed, they knew a two-tiered system already existed, but they chose to ignore it. They cry alligator tears for the wealthy or the class they serve. They could care less about the poor and those transphenomena called the wretched of the earth. With love, not fear. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.
As-salamu alaykum. Free Mumia. Free Mumia. Free Mumia. Free Mumia now. Brothers and sisters, comrades, it's really my pleasure to be here. One of your state representatives from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, I am ashamed to be a state representative in a Commonwealth.
So if I tell you, hey, there's this live training on how you can get pro art skills in 2023, register for free now, get a coupon.
And greeting family. Well, little things are happening tonight, but at any rate, we're going to cue that back up in a minute. That, of course, was David P. Richardson, a former state rep that was here in Philadelphia. And that was his last presentation, his last rally. Oh, here we go. We're going to try it again.
As-salamu alaykum. Free Mumia. Free Mumia. Free Mumia. Free Mumia now. Brothers and sisters, comrades, it's certainly my pleasure to be here. One of your state representatives from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, I am ashamed to be a state representative in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania with a chump like Governor Riz at the helm. I'm ashamed. But I wanted to come here today to let you know that some of us are not afraid, that even though we may be elected, we'll say what's on our mind. But we must understand that we are freedom fighters first, and that all the other things come next. And I'm a black man first, and then a state representative. I don't confuse the two. And I think it's time for us to wake up and realize and understand that you got a lot of us that are willing to go to battle because of freedom ain't gonna never be free unless we take it. There's too many of us sitting around thinking that it's gonna come to us on some damn silver platter. Wake up, you fool, and understand this man has no respect for you. None. None whatsoever. And they will continue to do what they do to move you only because they feel that you don't have no heart. Well, let me just say this to y'all. I want to send a message to the FOP. I want to make it loud and clear so there won't be any mistake about what's being said today. And I'm saying it as a black man in the city of Philadelphia and not as a state representative. I ain't scared the hell of y'all. And I'm not going to let you intimidate our people either. That's over. So when you come on with some threat about you going to boycott every event that we have and you want to stop the people from coming to contribute their money, get the hell out of our way. me, because we ain't going nowhere. The time has come for everybody to wake up and realize that this ain't no joke. We're not going to let you take Mumia's life. And we want to send a message to America that the death penalty has got to end. We want to wipe it out the same way they did in South Africa. But they did it by power of the people. When Nelson Mandela stepped out of jail and threw his hands up in the air, he was a strong brother. After 27 years being in jail, they didn't cripple his spirit. And I want to let all of you know that come from all across this country, you got some brothers and sisters in Philadelphia that are willing to rumble no matter what and ain't afraid of the Philadelphia police, the national police, the FOP, and all the rest of them that come together with you. Because we know in Philadelphia that there have been some strong brothers and sisters in the Philadelphia Police Department who are African-American, who have stood up and have said that they, in fact, are against the death penalty and they, in fact, want a new trial for Mumia Abu-Jamal. But it also came from the Philadelphia Garden City League. And I want to put that on the record here today. In my conclusion, I just want to say, I know the time has been rough today, but a lot of y'all need to know what this looks like for many of us here in the city of Philadelphia. Governor Reed is getting a message again. Not only did those 115,000 calls go on, that's an underestimated of the number that have been calling, as an underestimated number of those who signed petitions, as an underestimated number of those who come in and out of the city of Philadelphia from all across this country to give the kind of solidarity that's needed in order to make sure we free Mumia Abu-Jamal. We're not going to take this lying down. And I know that Mumia in his heart knows that we're all with him. So brothers and sisters, we're here as freedom fighters and black liberation strugglers who understand the importance of what we are, and we ain't gonna let no titles get in the way. Free Mumia! Free Mumia! Free Mumia! Free Mumia! No justice! No justice! Assalamu alaikum!
All right. Greetings, family. And so, moving right along, oops, hold on 1 minute. Let me get rid of this right here. Okay, there we go. All right, we're back. Last week was crazy. Meaning, we've never had that to happen, what happened last week, family. And I can't help but to think that it was because of the powerful program that we were bringing last week. Of course, with Crystal Muhammad from New Black Panther Party, who is going to be joining us with the mother of the brother, Carter, Rasheen Carter, who was murdered, and they found his body parts. We also had a brother coming on to tell us about the Emmett Till campaign and Mamie Till Mobley. And we had Chairman Fred. We're going to surprise y'all with Chairman Fred because he went to the commemoration for Mike Brown. We had that going on for you last week and could not get through. I could see everyone on my boards, but no, I could not let anybody in. No one could hear me. It was just crazy. But here you go. But I just want to tell you this before we bring one up with the chef, because again, I just heard from the ancestor. Richardson, and this month, August, as we commemorate Black August, we also remember some of our ancestors. So big ups again to David Richardson, who made transition roughly 2 weeks after that speech in 1995. Folks were getting ready for the Million Man March, and he was running. But he did that speech in August of 1995 and somehow died a few weeks after that. Anyway, again, we want to raise that energy up with David Richardson. And with that, we're going to talk a little bit about power tricksters. Power tricksters that are all in our communities. Some of them are city council, assembly people. Again, political folk that I was able to grow up around. Now, these people definitely ain't happening today, but we're going to examine that as we reach out with the National Black United Front, and others. out there and read for she. Given the fact that Mumia, still incarcerated after 41 years, the city of Philadelphia is getting ready to go through a change. Well, sort of, kind of. Meaning, we're getting ready to have, well, not we, they're getting ready to have the first black woman mayor, right? Come November, that election is going to happen. So, again, I'm not an advocate of any of that stuff, but we need to talk about some things because we do know that some things can happen. For example, all of the Move 9 was, in fact, released. That did happen. So, you know, again, we have to have some conversation. But anyway, I see Brother Shep is in queue. And with this spirit of Black August, with this spirit of freedom for our political prisoners, we're going to talk to Brother Shep. There's something very, very powerful happening tomorrow, but we also want to get an update on our political prisoners, some of the other activities, and I think there's also something coming up in September that needs to be put out for now because there's a fundraiser right now that is relevant to something that's going to be happening in September. And we'll get Brother Shep back on prior to the event, but right now is kind of a crunch time for the fundraising that is needed for a float that is, well, I'm going to have Brother Shep tell you about that. So let's go to our live line. And family, again, we thank all of you for joining us this week. Again, we apologize. There was nothing we could do last week. We tried everything. Again, we've been doing this radio program for 14 straight years. Never had that happen. I mean, we've had little glitches, but nothing like what happened last week. So go figure. Okay, let's go to our live line. And let's open up the mic for our brother Shep. He's in the house. And again, this one OG original Black Panther Party members. Hey, brother Shep, how you be tonight? Oh, not hearing you.
Yeah, you're breaking up every once in a while. Can you hear me?
Okay, yep, I can hear you.
Okay, well, we'll just push forward. Yeah, every once in a while you come out a little garbled, but you sound okay.
Oh,
right now.
Wow. Okay, okay.
Okay. Anyway, all power to the people, free them all.
Yes,
this
yes.
This is Brother Siddiqui, Brother Shep, Alok Bala. I'm a veteran of the original Black Panther Party, and good to be here again with the family on the air, in the air. And I'm going to be pretty quick this evening because we have, as you said, a lot of things coming up tomorrow early in the morning. I got to get up again. So I'm going to try to get this information out to the family. But
yes.
Tomorrow, Black August the 20th, very significant day in our history of struggle in this country, primarily because on August the 20th in 1619, the very first prisoners of war landed on these shores of America. And, of course, the institution of chattel slavery began. So we didn't actually pick tomorrow for our event because of that, but as the ancestors always do, things fall in place. This is Black August. We were looking at, of course, the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey's birthday was the 17th. And the 21st is the assassination of Comrade George Jackson. So we picked this day in the middle of that week for weekend day and just happened to fall on the 20th, or maybe not just happened to fall on the 20th. But tomorrow we are going to be holding a historic Black Panther Way street naming ceremony in Harlem. It'll be held at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. It will be virtually available for those who cannot make it to Harlem. But the significance of it is to pay tribute to the fallen comrades of the Black Panther Party in New York in general, but in Harlem in particular. Some of you might know some of the names of the leadership, especially those who came out of the New York Panther 21 trial. You might recall Zaid Malik Shakur, who was the brother who was killed on the Turnpike along with the capture of Assata Shakur and Sundiata Okolie, You might recall the name of Fanny Shakur, of course, one of our leaders in the Harlem Branch chapter and the mother of Tupac Shakur. Safia Bakari, for those of you in Philly with Lamia campaign, you know Safia very well before she became an ancestor. She did a lot of work for Lamia in Philly. And that list goes on. And we are paying tribute to all those fallen Panthers who came out of that movie. Many of them in the Black Liberation Army, you know, after we were forced to go underground. And so like Quinlan Myers, and, you know, the list goes on. But we're going to call those names out tomorrow at the ceremony. There are Panthers and BLA veterans that will be in New York City from all over the country tomorrow to pay tribute as we unveil the sign Black Panther Way.
Wow.
So that's just a little mouthful. There will, of course, be educators. There are elected officials that will be there who came on board. We actually started this back in 2019, and then the pandemic came. And that put a monkey wrench into what we were doing. The city council basically, not the city council, the community board had approved it. And the next step was to take it to the city council, but the pandemic stopped that from happening. So we had to turn around and do the whole thing all over again and after the pandemic. And so we got it done this year, approved unanimously. And it's not a simple thing. People might think to get a street name after anyone. It has to be an ancestor, but particularly revolutionaries. Most of the streets here in New York, I don't know how it's done in Philly and other cities, but the pigs usually have their names put up on these street signs. You know, if it's not a member of the clergy, you'll see a pig name up there, and the police union is always on hand to block any name that might be put out. For those of you that know the name of Sonny Abaduka Carson, big battles took place to try to get his name put up in Brooklyn, and it's always was stopped. Hopefully that'll come to fruition. And even in Chicago, big battle to get Fred Hampton's name put up on the street sign. So that's not a minor insignificant thing to make sure that our names of our ancestors are put up and immortalized, you know, for our community and for our people to learn about.
Absolutely.
Kickoff, so to speak, you know, then I'll open up if anybody has any questions. But it's the kickoff for what's to come forward. I heard you mention about fundraising. That's actually going to be a Freedom Fighter weekend. Lot of you, especially those of you in Philly, might remember the Curb Fest for Political Prisoners, which started in Philadelphia and have now spread to cities in Boston. We had one in Harlem. This year it's going to be in Brooklyn, Baltimore, and different cities have picked up on that, where we bring cultural artists in general, but particularly hip-hop artists together on the blocks, in the communities, to perform and raise the issue of our captive freedom fighters. So on September 16th, there'll be a Curb Fest for Political Prisoners in Brooklyn, and then that next day, we're going to be in Harlem for the Freedom Fighters contingent, which has been marching since 1991 in the African American Day Parade in Harlem. So that's what the question is going to get. We're going to have a float for our elders. This will be our third float this year. The first one, we were able to have Sekou Odinga, after he was released, to be on the float with our elders. Last year, we had Sundiata Okoli. Unfortunately, Brother Matu has joined the ancestors, so we won't get him there this year. But we will be paying tribute to him, of course. And who knows? Maybe we can get Rochelle McGee here. We definitely want our ancestors to participate. That's not a promise, but, you know, we don't know what the conditions are for that. Yeah. But it's to let the people know that we can have victories, that our freedom fighters can come home, contrary to what this country says, that they're going to die in prison. No, they're not going to all die in prison. Yes, some have, but we want to bring our elders home, and that's what the last month was all about with the three-weekend conference to liberate our elders. And then, of course, we have the Black Panther Film Festival in Harlem, 15 years of that. And that'll be held at the last 2 weeks, weekend dates, 29th and the 30th in September. And then October, which is Black Panther Month, when the party first started, that'll be on October 6th and 7th. So as always, PantherShepCat at AOL.com. That's PantherShepCat at AOL.com. Contact me directly, and I will get you the information and put you in our network.
All right, Brother Shep. And listen, before you go, since you mentioned last weekend's conference, could you just kind of give us, and we'll get you back on to talk more in depth about that, but since I have you right now, can you just give us a little overview of what happened last weekend?
Wow. Yeah, we're going to have to go back to that for sure. But basically what it was, a lot of the brothers that are still captured came together a few months back, primarily from the Prison Lives Matter group organized by Kwame Shakur, who's incarcerated in Indiana. And the organization reached out to us on the outside to have us come together to begin organize to liberate our elders. So we had a three-day conference, which was based in Oakland, Chicago, and New York. We used the technology to have it live stream from all three locations, all 3 days. But we did not want to just have a conference just to talk about the different issues around our elders in prison and our prison industrial complex itself. We want to move forward. That was the purpose. Too many times there's conventions and conferences and forums and meetings, and then people just go home, and that's it.
Yeah,
we did not want to do it this time, and so we actually have a program that's based upon the People's Senate, which came out of the tribunal in 2021 against genocide. And so folks from all over the country have been coming together for the last 4 months and identifying strategic areas where we can begin organizing together. We find too many times a lot of groups might have one particular niche that they're involved in. It might be dealing with organizing street families, you know, to stop the fratricide, killing each other and begin to organize in their community. But it's happening in different cities, but there's no connection. So we're utilizing this to begin to bring all of those soldiers and warriors together to begin to find different ways to decolonize our communities and have community control. That's just one example. Of course, we also have the issue I mentioned on this elder abuse and medical neglect in the prisons. There's issues right now that really came out of the conference dealing with women in prison. People completely ignore the fact that that's the fastest growing population in this country right now, particularly amongst our sisters. I heard you mention the MOVE sisters, and Reverend Joy Powell, one of our political prisoners here in New York, she actually did a brilliant article when the MOVE sisters were still locked up, just saying that, you know, I love my brothers, but why aren't you talking about the sisters that are incarcerated? They are women political prison. And so there's a movement coming out of Chicago from some sisters there that really want to put that out there, and we're going to make that connection. We had, some of you know, Pastor Keith Collins from Philadelphia. He just came back from Chicago to meet with folks there. So we didn't just have a conference. People immediately began traveling and connecting with each other so we can start building in all these different areas. And I only mentioned two of about nine that we have identified that we're going to be working on.
All right. Wonderful. And Brother Shep, please make sure with the sisters that are organizing around the women, make sure that we, you know, get in touch with them, or we're connected with them, because we're going to be implementing starting next month, the Million Woman World March is coming, and with that, our Million Woman Ministries. And one of the ministry components is for the sisters to start going into some of the women's prisons on a national level and, you know, start building with them and holding sessions with them. So definitely, you know, we want to connect with any of our sisters that are doing that work or getting ready to do some of that work.
Absolutely. I mean, that is so important, and that's why this conference is really, for me, a real success, because, you know, we've found people that have been doing the work that we didn't even know were around. And, you know, right now in Bedford Hills, where Reverend Joy Powell is at, still dealing with a situation there. I mean, we all know there's another heat wave on the way, and the conditions mm-hmm. inside of those prisons, but particularly with the women there, is like unbelievable. It's almost like yep. he was in those slave ships again. You know, I mean, they were being attacked by parasite bugs, and no one was doing anything about it. And, you know, just the conditions were, like, unbelievable, like I was saying. And so, but she's a revolutionary. And people need to look up Reverend Joy Powell and find out the amazing work that she's being done by being captured. And for the decades, they want to continue to hold her. Find out that story.
Absolutely.
Because, we do have sisters that are on the front lines. You know, most people know Asada, and we were able to liberate her. Some people don't even know that Asada spent, you know, over 8 years captured as a political prisoner of war, and she escaped a couple of times. You know, there's a lot of history about our sisters, and we need to know about it.
Well, hopefully, you know, we'll be getting that information to present for our upcoming summit in October. And, you know, again, I reached out to, you know, at least the contact information that I had for Reverend Joy, but I could never get a response. So, you know, if you can make that happen, by all means, because we really want to share that information now that we're building this sisterhood, we call it sisterhood, on a national, international level. We want to make sure that we're able to get this information circulated, you know. So please.
Well, we
want to
make sure that happens face-to-face. We, you know, I mean, they always intercept our regular communications that they provide. We just had some people visit Joy just a couple of weeks ago, and we plan on doing a benefit for her and for Kamal Siddiqui coming up. So we'll make that happen. You know, the family was able to visit her for the first time in a long time during the Mother's Day weekend. So, you know, it's a challenge sometimes, but yes, we're definitely going to make sure that happens on both fronts, not just with Joy, but with the other sisters too. That are organizing.
Oh, yes. All right. Wonderful, wonderful. All right, my brother. Well, you know you always got an open mic here, so whenever you want, just let me know. We get you on.
Right on. Okay, so I'll get that information out to you this evening so you can connect with the other system.
And before you go, one more time, what time in the morning?
Tomorrow?
Yeah, for tomorrow. What time?
Tomorrow is at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Yes.
All right. Got it. Okay. And one more time, give out your email address.
Yes. It's PANTHER. That's Panther. Shep. 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 And then Cat. 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 At AOL.com. If you can't remember that, this is Brother Shep. I'm a panther, and a panther is a cat. So you get Panther Shep Cat at AOL.com.
All right, my brother. Well, we'll definitely be getting you black on between now and September for the upcoming parade. Make sure folks have information about that. So look forward to having you back with us again soon.
All right. Black August is for struggle, y'all. Remember that. We have to look. We are our own liberators. Bring them on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one last thing, Brother Shep, on Wednesday, we'll be doing a special edition. Also on Monday, we'll be doing a special edition. That's Nat Turner Day, y'all. Nat Turner Day is Monday. But we'll be doing a special edition Monday and also on Wednesday, because that's International Day of Remembrance for the transatlantic slave trade, for the slave trade, that's what it says, for the slave trade and its abolition. So we'll be talking more about political prisoners on the Wednesday. In addition to our focus is going to be the 13th Amendment. When we talk about slavery, we have to make sure we take a closer look at the 13th Amendment and start coming up with some plans of action for that. So, Brother Shep, if you're available, that'll be an early session, so feel free to join us on Wednesday. It starts at 7:30.
I'll send me the information. I'll see, and that's actually one of those areas that we were talking about moving forward with, changing that whole legislation. All right?
I say. All right, my brother. Give thanks.
All right.
All right. Peace to you. All right, family, moving right along. You know, it's a lot going on again for this month. And there's, you know, a lot of days that we observe and that we commemorate, including the Haitian Revolution. You heard me mention earlier about Nat Turner. It's Monday, Nat Turner Rebellion. So we'll be doing, again, on Monday, the program that we were going to do last week. We'll be doing it on Monday. But this time, just to be on the safe side, we're going to also be on Facebook and on Zoom. So we'll give you that information again. We had a sneaky suspicion. We got shut down last week because of the powerful information that we were going to be bringing you. Because when you hear what Sister Crystal shared with us, it's going to be like, what? I mean, not that we're going to be surprised or anything, but to hear specifically what has happened. And that's not the only murder in recent times, and she's going to give us a wonderful report and insight into some of the things that's been going on, particularly in Mississippi. There's been other murders that have not been, you know, talked about, advertised, or reported on. So, again, Monday at 7:30, we'll be doing a special edition. Sister Crystal Muhammad from the New Black Panther Party, based there in Texas. And also we'll be talking with the mother of the brother who was murdered, that they found his body parts. We'll have her, Sister Tiffany Carter, the mother of Brother Rasheem Carter. We're also going to have a representative from the legal team, and I think also the aunt as well. So, again, that's 7:30 on Monday, Nat Turner Day. We'll have a full conversation with a lot of information. There's a rally coming up in Mississippi in regards to the brother's murder. And, again, we'll be giving you a lot of information about that and some other things. So we'll remind you as we close, before we close out tonight on that. Coming up shortly, we're going to talk about another activity or another commemoration, and that is the independence of Tobago and Trinidad and Tobago. So we're going to be talking with Brother Keith Hodge very shortly to talk about what's coming up here in Philadelphia that happens for the past few years. I've attended several of the commemorations of the flag raising, and that's coming up again this year, and we're going to talk to him about that. But before we do, we're going to bring in one of our brothers from the Detroit area who is going to talk with us about, again, the campaign for this monument Emmett Till, and of course, his mother, Mamie Till Mobley. We're going to talk with Brother Emoja. We're going to talk with him in a few moments and get this information. Hold on 1 minute. I got to pull his number up because we're calling him. And so let me do this. And he's going to tell us about this campaign that is very, very interesting and also very much needed. Okay, let's try to bring him in right about now. We're talking about Brother Moses Ajabu is his name. And it's ringing. Oh. Hopefully he will be picking it up.
Hello.
There we
Hello.
Are. Greetings yes. to you, Baba. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm blessed by the best, and you?
Listen, as I always say, whenever we can come on and do this program and share the information with our family, it's always a good day.
Yes, excellent day.
All right, so we're glad we got you this week. And as I mentioned to you in the correspondence, last week we couldn't get anybody on last week. We were shut down. And it was really interesting that, you know, and that had never happened before in 14 years.
it looks like we made history and not intentionally.
Yeah, well, it's all good, you know. It's just we have to focus on getting.
Hey, you're breaking up. I can't understand you.
See? Now you see that?
There you go.
I'm talking about how we got interfered with, and just then we started breaking up. And I was saying that we have to start getting our own stuff, meaning we got to figure out how we're going to communicate in some other ways other than the way they have us communicating. So that's a challenge, but it's certain that we got to look at doing. But listen, Baba, if you'd be so kind, share with us, and again, thank you for sending me the information about this wonderful campaign in recognizing, of course, Emmett Till and, of course, his mother, who is one of our sister saints now, by the way, Saint Mamie Till Mobley. And so, you know, tell us about the campaign.
Well, the campaign is to expand the recognition that President Biden has given the Emmett Till and Mamie. We want them to look at also making Emmett Till's grave a part of the memorial that he's setting out. We look at and we appreciate him making the spot where Emmett Till's body was found, making it a memorial. We support him looking at the courthouse and where Emmett freers or killers were set free. Okay, we can appreciate that, and but we're saying that it was Emmett's remains that actually went through all of that suffered the damage of being killed, that suffered the damage of the injustice. And so you should honor the remains. And so we're in that President Biden also put the grave site of Emmett on that list. We are just concerned that you are having a memorial and there's still not justice for Emmett. We know that the people that killed Emmett, that were tried for killing Emmett and set free, we know that they are the culprits. We know that they are the ones that lynched Emmett because they admitted it. So now they went through the system, and the system exonerated guilty men, which means that it failed. And if the system failed, then there are the people that caused the failure of that office should be held accountable. And so we're asking the federal government, who done an investigation on the murder, to release the full report and the investigative materials that they obtained, release that to the public so that we can understand how, again, that the Justice Department found that the woman who actually set in motion the lynching of Emmett Till, who was living at the time and who had an active warrant at the time, how did the Justice Department do an investigation and not find that woman, Carolyn Bryant, who's dead now but was not dead then, should not be held accountable? And so we're asking them to release that information because it looks like that they're participating and colluding in covering up the justice that the Emmett Till's expense of being lynched. Looks like that they're helping to cover that up, so release all of the information. Likewise, we're asking that Dwayne Richardson also release the testimony that was given in the grand jury, because the grand jury, again, like the investigation of the Justice Department, came back with a no bill, or no, we don't find anybody that should be held culpable for the murder, the lynching, the injustice that Emmett Till suffered. And so we want them to, how did that happen when we know that the woman that fingered Emmett is living? We know that the woman that fingered Emmett, that there was an active warrant for her arrest. And so how did a grand jury, what did the district attorney present to the grand jury to where is that the grand jury would come back and say that she should not be held accountable? In order for us to have any kind of trust in this system, which my trust in this system is not increasing but going down, it is because of the lack of transparency. You know, and if you want to build transparency to a man that is a decorated veteran of the Vietnam War, a man that earned the second highest medal that this country gives to a soldier in combat, we are asking as soldiers to have Governor President Biden put Emmett's gravesite on the registry, and to release the documents of the Justice Department and the documents of the grand jury that Dwayne Richardson convened, release that so that we can understand how the system failed, so that we can hold the system accountable. So we're asking people to sign the petition, which you can get at our website on Facebook, and that is BAD, Veterans Association for African Descendants. Of African descendants, people who were born in Africa, stolen and brought to America, and served in its military. We are asking as men of African descent who are veterans for there to be justice for Emmett Till and transparency about Emmett Till so that he can rest in peace.
Well, Father, thank you so much for that. And I want you to know that we certainly support this campaign, this endeavor, and would very much like to have you to be a part of the presentation that we're preparing for December, because we have the Recharge Genocide 21 is 21 areas of genocide, and our Black veterans have a specific, you know, place in this. That's one of our task forces. So we definitely, you know, invite you and your group to be a part of our upcoming December Black Human Rights Forum that will happen. And I'll share more information with you about that. But definitely this and other relevant information, we certainly, you know, hope that you will provide for us to share with our communities, with our families, so that as we proceed, we can document to a greater extent the acts of genocide that have been inflicted upon our people and the kind of remedies that we now have to demand. And particularly given the fact that next year is a presidential election. And while I don't advocate that, you know, this whole voting thing, again, we can parlay in some of these areas. And so, you know, we're going to be ready at least to make some statements to some people in saying that if you want black folks' votes, this is what y'all got to begin to address. Now, we need to at least try to do something like that. So this is very, very timely. Again, please give out the Facebook location where people can go to get the petition or the campaign information so that they can sign on. Please give them that Facebook information again.
You can reach us again, the Veterans Association of African Descendants. And we say for short, VAAD, V-A-A-D. And on there, if you go to our Facebook page, there's a link to the petition. And we appreciate everyone that's in the listening audience. We would appreciate your signature and also you sharing so that we can have the greatest impact that we can have so that we can still obtain the justice that is being so elusive for a 14-year-old child that was shot in the head with a fan attached to his body around his neck with barbed wire and his mutilated genitals and his bloated body that was done to him by Roy Bryant and his half-brother because of Roy Bryant's wife, Carolyn Bryant, saying that Emmett acted inappropriate to her by whistling. That's not and we're not necessarily saying that it was appropriate for Emmett to whistle if he did at anybody, but we are saying that whistling at somebody does not warrant that kind of behavior on the part of those two white people, three white people, and now that the system needs to be held accountable, because it failed. We looked at in Martin Luther King's time and SNCC's time that they thought that obtaining the right to vote would stop that kind of injustice that was coming from the system. They felt that we could put people of African descent in those positions and we would get a different kind of behavior from the system. And Martin and SNCC and NAACP, all of those were successful in obtaining the right for us to vote in 1965 with the passing of the Voters' Right Act. But if we do what in the military we call the after-analysis report, which I like to call the after action analysis, AAA, looking back on what we thought was the solution. Now we were successful in getting people of African descent in those positions. In fact, we're looking at the situation now. The person that convened the grand jury was a man of African descent, Dwayne Richardson, but yet and still the system acts in the way that the white races acted in 1955. We're getting the same thing in 2022. So voting is not the solution to the behavior that we are getting. Voting is a tool, but it's not the solution. You know, that's so right. The voting should be used, but obviously it's not the solution. We need to go back to the till and come up with the solution that is going to allow us to get the justice that we ought to have. And we say that, it's obvious that voting without us fighting is not going for shit. So we've got to understand that we're at war, and we've got to move accordingly to prepare for it and wage it in the way that it needs to be waged, so that our killing and injustice that we're getting at the hands of this system stops.
I say, absolutely. All right, Baba. Well, again, I thank you, and I certainly look forward to talking with you more in the future in terms of how we can build. I was supposed to be coming to your area this month, and I'm not sure if that's going to happen. I've been trying to connect with Chairman Fred because he does something there every year. So we'll see. But at any rate, we will definitely stay in touch. And
I will look.
Move things forward.
We look forward to it. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to address your audience.
It's a pleasure, and thank you, Baba.
All
right, family. Ashe.
Ashe.
All right, family, listen. We are going to, again, remind you that Monday, we will be doing special edition on Monday, and it will be at 7:30. We will, again, talk about what's going on in Mississippi, as our great Saint Nina Simone taught us, Mississippi goddamn is what she said. And we're going to talk more about that. We're going to bring Brother Keith Hodge in a few minutes to talk about the Trinidad Tobago flag raising that's going to happen here in Philly on Friday. Before we do, we're going to go to a couple of callers, see if you have any responses or quick comments or quick messages that you want to share. If you do, you can press 1 now. And we got one caller here at 2816. 2816, your mic is open. Welcome to the Women of New Deck. 2816, your mic is open. Okay, maybe you pressed it by mistake. Moving right along. Okay, we're going to bring in Brother Keith. I thought I saw him in queue. Brother Keith, I need for you to press 1 so I can find you a little more easily. All right, there we go. All right, family, I'd like for you to meet one of our brothers here in the Philly Tri-State area. Again, this brother does a tremendous amount of work in our community, particularly when it comes to the cultural arts and culture of the Trinidad Tobago family. But of course, he's connected to other Caracone, as some call it, kinds of activities, programs. And I've been knowing his brother for quite a few years. He's one of our Caribbean ambassadors, actually. And by the way, for those who do not know, we're looking at taking the Million Woman World March into Africa for 2025. But Brother Keith is one of our key people that we will be talking with in terms of bringing it possibly to Trinidad Tobago next year. So without further ado, let's open up Brother Keith's mic and let's talk with him about what's coming up this week here in Philly, and certainly in other locations as well. But I can tell you about what's going on here in Philly because I plan on going. Hey, Brother Keith, how you doing tonight?
Blessings, everyone. I'm doing fine. Hello to the listening audience, and thank you for having me on.
Oh, certainly. So what's coming up this weekend, Brother Keith? I know you got a packed weekend coming up.
Yeah, we have a Caribbean celebration Independence Weekend coming up, and this starts off, kicked off on Friday, folks. This coming Friday, 2 p.m. at City Hall in Philadelphia, with a flag raising in celebrating the Independence 62nd, Independence 61st of Trinidad and Tobago. That's going to be 2 p.m., and that's going to be right there at City Hall Plaza, followed by a reception upstairs. So folks, please come on down. It's going to be a real fun time. We have some entertainment as well. And, of course, we have a reception with City Council and the mayor upstairs to the hall.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be this coming Friday, so flag raising. That evening, actually, at Police Corps Club Festival, it's in Philadelphia, in Philadelphia, on Walnut, 5222 Walnut Street. There is going to be a flag party following the flag raising. So that's going to be, that means you just come on out, wear your favorite colors, come represent, and just come and have fun. That's going to be that evening from 8 p.m. onward at Club Festival. They're closed out there that evening, closed out the night. All right.
All right.
Yeah. So it's going to be a fun, fun day. That's celebrating Trinidad and Tobago's independence and, of course, the Caribbean as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We also have, like I said, it's a whole weekend, folks, of Saturday. The Liberty Bell, again at 2 o'clock. Come on down to the Liberty Bell, start around 1, for a information expo, a cultural showcase, a fashion show, and we do also have a procession as well, celebrating the independence of the Caribbean.
All right.
That's going to be, again, at the Liberty Bell Plaza, Independence Mall, celebrating the independence of the Caribbean country. It's going to be a joint effort with many countries. There, this is our second annual, and we did have a great time last year with all those who showed up. Sunday, folks, we'll be actually back again at 2 p.m. at the Please Touch Museum. Please Touch Museum is located right in Fairmont Park, Memorial Hall, for a family picnic, family day. We have a soccer matches. We have games, races, DJ, music, fun, food, Caribbean food, yes, that we usually share. It's going to be a great time. So, again, so you have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 2 p.m. each day. City Hall Friday,
right.
Liberty Bell Saturday, and Free Special Museum Sunday.
All right. Wonderful, wonderful. So, Brother Keith, listen, tell us a little bit about Trinidad and Tobago. For those that don't know much about it.
Yes, Trinidad and Tobago is actually two islands found off the coast of Venezuela. And they've done not that big a population right now, only million and a half, bordering 2 million soon. And that's it. But it's also the home of the steel pan started, calypso started,
mm-hmm. Yes,
and also limbo started there as well. The noise, folks, in the background. But also the East Indian chutney music also started here. So not doing too bad for small countries. This is our 61st anniversary of independence, which we obtained from England back in 1962. Our independence is actually August 31st. And for those of you who may not have known, and I'm sure most of you don't, the United Nations last month, actually about 2 weeks ago, had a United Nations Council made a proclamation to make August the 11th World International Steel Pan Day. Folks, that's right.
Uh-huh.
This is going to be an annual event going forward, and they had a big event to do back on the 11th last Friday.
Wow.
So it's actually has been upgraded to World International Steel Pan Month of August. In Trinidad and Tobago, August 1st is Emancipation Day, August 31st is the Independence Day, and now we have August 11th, World International Steel Pan Day, so it's World International Steel Pan Month For those of you who know about Emancipation Day is now being observed in many, many countries now throughout the world. The first country to observe it was actually Trinidad and Tobago. Now everyone is following August 1st, Emancipation Day, freedom, celebrating mm-hmm. freedom mm-hmm. from slavery.
Okay.
In the United States. For the rest of the world, it's August 1st.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. So I have a, just so the folks will know. Here in Philadelphia, we had a shop, my brother.
They're waking you up.
Your background, Brother Keith, I don't know if you can mute that out.
Actually, you just got broken up for the last minute.
Okay.
So
what I was saying is that our shop here, our cultural shop and hub, was called Stiltwalkers. And, of course, with Trinidad, there is a tradition, and that's known as Mokujumbi. So tell us
correct,
a little bit
correct.
About Mokujumbi.
Okay, so Mokujumbi is actually, still walking. And a couple of countries now have actually schools that teach still walking, Trinidad and Tobago being one. And it's really an African tradition that started in
mm-hmm.
Africa, and of course it represents the spirits protecting the people coming up, of course, on a very high level, as you can see
mm-hmm.
and otherwise see. Some traditions have it coming out of the sea for protection, these folks on stilts. For many others, it's a spiritual experience as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it is being taught in many schools of the art of stilts walking, and you're actually on stilts walking. Yeah.
Wow.
The African tradition is very strong. This year, by the way, for Emancipation Day, many people have picked up the King of Ghana actually did one of his rare trips out of Ghana and went to Trinidad and Tobago, where he participated in the Emancipation Ceremony this year. It was really quite an interesting phenomenon.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Tradition.
All right. So again, family, if you are in the Philadelphia area this weekend, certainly you can stop by and participate in some of the activities that's going on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so, again, Brother Keith, is there a website or a contact information where people can connect?
Yeah, okay, so if anyone wants to contact us, we can contact us as All US Caribbean at gmail.com, and we are also on the site. It's All Us Caribbean or American Caribbean Alliance, both being on Facebook and all the social medias out there for information. For anyone who may want to do that. But this coming Friday, folks, if you're saving the schedule, come on down again. And those of you who are looking to party Friday night, come on down to Club Festival. Those tickets are $20, 2 for $30, actually. $20 per person, 2 for $30. And it comes with favors, and it's quite an event for that as we celebrate independence of the Caribbean countries. And of course.
All right. Wonderful, wonderful. I'm definitely planning to stop by for the flag raising on Friday. It'll be good to see the Consulate General again, and hopefully we can schedule our meeting finally to begin to examine the feasibility of us bringing the Million Woman World March into Trinidad and Tobago next year.
Okay. Yes, indeed. That would be awesome.
No doubt. All right, my brother, again, it's always good talking with you, and I will see you on Friday.
Yes, along with your listening audience, folks, come on down, please. You can bring your folks with you. We'd love to have you at any one of these events, beginning on Friday.
I say, all right. All right, Brother Keith, I thank you again, and I look forward to seeing you.
All right, and continued success to you, Empress, and your entire listening audience. All the very best. Go with God. God's blessings.
All right. Good thing. All right, family, we are going to move forward. And, again, we've been talking with Brother Keith Hodge, who, again, is representing the American, Caribbean Cultural Alliance. All right. So, listen, family, let's do this. If you have a comment or some information you'd like to share with us, then I'm going to ask you to press 1 now, and certainly we will allow you to do so. And also, what I'd like to do is to get your opinion about something. If you have heard the, shall we say, recent report coming out of Newark, New Jersey, there was an incident that took place there this past week that the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, his name is Ross Baraka, and apparently it was a brother in Newark who felt the need to confront the mayor in regards to his behavior, and as the brother had pretty much conveyed his irresponsibility when it came to homelessness. Apparently there are quite a few folks that are homeless, as in many other urban cities. But in this particular case, apparently the mayor, according to the report, was involved in selling a facility to a developer. And in doing so, this is how folks who were already homeless, but this really put them out on the street, because the facility was one that apparently they were utilizing to help to curtail the fact that they really did not have a home. And so, you know, people were protesting in regards to this situation. And fortunately, our sister Manira was gracious enough to forward some of the Instagram and other kinds of media circulation of the dialogue, or shall I say the conversation that took place with this brother, whose name he goes by Captain Africa. But we found it to be interesting for a lot of reasons. We started off tonight, of course, playing a political person who we knew here in Philadelphia. He was a state rep, David P. Richardson, and he made it very clear that he was a black man first. Even though he was a state rep and had all these other titles and involvements, again, he made it very clear that who he is as a man, as a brother,
will always be first. And he did, you know, he represented that. And the point that I'm making is, where are we seeing that at, where are we seeing that kind of stuff at today? Now, we saw it again with people like Chokwe Lumumba, who was also mayor, but prior to becoming mayor, he was, of course, the, you know, the people's lawyer. Like Brother Alton Maddox, he was one of our warrior lawyers, and he made it very clear that his position on certain things was unapologetic and undeniable. So the question is, where are these people at today? So I can tell you here in Philly, nobody stands up like Dave did. Nobody. And this has been going on for quite a while, meaning these weak kind of interactions, positions, and so forth. And so, again, okay, so this is starting to get real interesting, family. For some reason, we got disconnected again, and people have been saying that the reception tonight is going in and out. Again, we have never had this kind of problem before, so we're going to have to try to figure out how we need to repeat.
But at any rate, if you have a comment, question, or something you'd like to share with us on an event or some other thing that you might have come across, even an article or something you might want to share, you can press 1 now, and we certainly would bring you into the conversation.
Again, we want to remind you, Monday, we will, in fact, be doing a special edition at 7:30. It will be on Blog Talk, but it'll also be on Zoom and Facebook. So if you want more information about the Zoom link and the Facebook information, you can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can text us at 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. The other thing we wanted to talk about last week, and we're going to mention it again tonight and talk more about it on Monday, it seems like whenever we start talking about this thing called the boule, wow, it starts, you know, the communications apparatuses start really getting strange. Because last week's program was also to talk about what we now call the Negropean boule. And again, we have examples that we want to share with you because, as many know, for the past year or more, we've been talking about the Million Woman World March and bringing this movement forward in such a way that we can literally institutionalize what we're doing, this movement, and the mission, not just here in the U.S. And so, interestingly enough, we recently learned that there's going to be a Women Girls Summit here in Philadelphia at the same time that we will be doing some of our activities. And so, and this is for all women, by the way. This is not just for Black women like ours. Ours is exclusively for our women and girls. No, but this other stuff is for all women. But they have a Black woman who is heading it up. Actually, she's born in the continent. And so we want to examine that. And so I'm going to wait because I want to make sure that we have ample time. And I'd like to send some of that information to some of you to examine and look at because we need to now see to a greater extent in the 21st century how the Negropean boule actually operates. Now, we're not talking about it from the context of conspiracy theory stuff. Because that's what, you know, years ago people used to attempt to say with Baba Steve Coakley, oh, you know, this conspiracy stuff, you can't really prove this. This is the best. But we're going to show it to you.
they've been doing for a period of time, particularly as it pertains to here in Philadelphia with the Men and Women March. But now how it's becoming a kind of international thing to usurp and kind of get in our way if they think they can. And so we're going to demonstrate that to you. And by the way, this past March, we were doing some things as part of some of the United Nations. It's called the, well, every year in March, there are activities that happen as a part of the International Women's Month. Okay, something is going on. The people are telling me they can't hear me. Let's see. All right, let me try to do something else because I'm getting reports that there is a problem. So, we're going to have to figure out how to kind of, I think what will probably happen is we'll probably have to start using a landline to see if that will make things a little better because, again, we've never had this kind of problem before. And now all of a sudden, we are having a whole bunch of problems. But at any rate, and again, whenever I start talking about Boule and things of that nature, okay, they're saying now they can hear me now. Okay, great. All right. The point is, let's see. Everybody's saying they can hear me better now. Okay. The point is, we're going to have to work on making sure that we change our communication apparatuses. But here's what I wanted to ask, and it is, what should we do, can we do, to begin to clean up our communities? And what I mean by that is, and again, I have answers, and you'll hear more as we start talking more about the Million Woman Party. Again, we need to run some of our own candidates in the local arenas. For example, here in Philadelphia, there is the sheriff's office. There is the Register of Wills. All of these offices are very, very significant in our community. And so we can make a difference in some of those areas. I want to pull up, if I can, again, Sister Manira sent me a couple of clips. I actually wanted to play one of them for you. So I'm going to give you a warning before I do, and it is you do not want any children to hear this conversation. But I want to share what this brother has said to the mayor of Newark. And interestingly enough, he was actually arrested for, you know, saying these things, and they wanted to charge him with terroristic threats, of all things. And again, we need to pay kind of close attention to this because it's the kind of maneuvers that we know happen in our community because we've seen it before here in Philly when folks would step up and speak out against various so-called officials. It gave them the opportunity to utilize their connections or their capability to lock you up. So we do have to be a little more cognizant of that and a little more, shall we say, capable of, you know, verbally kicking their behinds, but not in a way where they can flip it on us and then use it against us. And so that is unfortunately what happened with this brother. But again, we're working on getting him on our radio program. We certainly definitely would love to talk with him directly. But I'm going to share, family, with you, and some of the language is, you know, a little is animated, and that puts it mildly. So if you're not one that, you know, likes to hear either profanity or other kinds of, you know, conversations, then you might want to turn the volume down just for about, I'm only going to play about 3 minutes of it, but I want to share this because this is how folks used to be in Philly. When I was coming up in the struggle, this is how brothers used to roll, and some sisters too, by the way, but this is how they used to roll. And so I want to, let me see if I can find it. I want to share, yeah, here we go. I want to share a little bit of what happened in Newark this past week with a conversation that a brother by the name of Captain Africa had with the mayor and some of the mayor's staff. So give me a minute. Hopefully. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go.
You the clown. That's Rod Baraka, fake-ass revolutionary mayor. You the fucking sellout. You the fucking sellout. I'm out, man. For you, I'm out. You the fucking clown. You grab the talk over there. But you might get me to call you. You're a sellout. And you're a sellout. And you're a fucking sellout. And you're a fucking sellout. Like, go for what? You the fucking area, bro. You the fucking area. You the fucking sellout. You the fucking area, bro. Why can't you say what I want? You talking to me. You talking to me. I got to say.
Missed the part that I wanted to play, and that was in regards to why this brother went off on him, and that was in reference to a housing situation where, you know, hold on one minute, hold on, here we go. Okay, so again, this was, and for those who, you know, are, you know, not very comfortable with the language and all of that, this is why I wanted to make sure you had a warning before I played it, because, again, it's important to me that, you know, we share this kind of information. That brother got locked up for confronting the mayor. Now, some might not agree with the way he spoke, but at the same time, I'm sure there's some who do. Again, the issue is the fact that as a result of the selling of this building to develop and not providing alternatives to the people, you now had people who literally were on the street. And I'm talking about, you know, a relatively, you know, large amount of folk were now homeless. I mean, completely. And so, you know, there are some people who really are concerned about that kind of situation. And this obviously was one of those people. And so, again, family, what I'm saying is, in your community, do you have elected officials that are standing up, speaking out in a manner that is really, I would say, I'll just use the word, unapologetic? Because we used to have... When I heard this brother, it just reminded me so much of, you know, black men here in Philly. They just wouldn't sit back and just let all this stuff happen the way that we're seeing it now. And I can't help but to wonder why this was not happening before. Now, again, I'm not saying they have to say it like this brother did, but and some did, by the way, but their actions definitely depicted in some kind of way, shape, fashion, or form. Just like when I started off with the program earlier and you heard our state representative, David Richardson. Well, we had that kind. There was another person here. He was literally city council, and then he became congressman, and his name was Lucian Blackwell. And I'm telling you, he was a longshoreman by profession before he became a politician. And so you best believe you did not, I mean, and we call him Lou, but I'm saying this was the kind of representation that we used to have in our community. That's why, you know, I've heard people say, oh, you know, she's so angry, some of me. Yeah, you're damn right I'm angry. Because I've been seeing how our people are being sold down the drain by these people who are just, I mean, the brothers said it's like clowns. I mean, really. They're playing these roles, and really, I mean, it's just unbelievable to watch what they're doing, to see what is happening with our community. So, with that said, I'm going to come back to you all and ask if you have any kind of thoughts about what you just heard or in your community. And, of course, what can we now do to change what is going on, bring our communities back into some greater capability of productivity and advancement? Let's go caller at 1600. Your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day. Okay. I'm not hearing you, so let's try.
Can you hear me?
Are you there? Yeah, I hear you now.
Yeah. I was trying to say something, but I couldn't get through. Can you hear me now?
Yep, I can hear you now.
Okay, so greetings, Empress. This is Sheila. Greetings to your audience.
Yes,
I was I was wanting to comment first on your observation about the International Women event that's taking place in October in Philadelphia. I thought that was very interesting. So I have been following you on this journey for a little bit now, and I do believe everything you say. I do. I promise you know I do. But when I saw that promotion with the Brady Bunch adopted family from the continent to Switzerland, it was the icing on the cake you keep telling me is being baked around those infiltrators who want to sabotage the Million Woman World March. I could not believe the timing, the imagery, and then this real, like, covert, but not so covert effort to co-op your timing, to co-op almost the name, and then to do it so disingenuously by pretending that this is some kind of, and then the theme doesn't even make sense. So it's about women, but there is this IT related topic that clearly Black women are not leading in any kind of way.
Sure.
It was just a bizarre thing, and I was like, okay, the sister is really trying to tell us that this is really happening, and you can't say anything anymore. It's like, oh my goodness, they are really serious. It's like they're stalking you, and it's big people, you know, because you can clearly see this did not originate from the continent, but it's like someone's just taking the entire theme and watering it down and trying to position it in the place where they thought you were going to be having the event in October.
That's
just
right.
A really bizarre thing. I mean, you got to send it out to the people on the mailing list so that they can see this.
No doubt. And we're going to do a whole session on that, Sister Sheila. We're going to do a whole session because what I realize is we have to, if not train, for lack of a better word, we have to help our people, and in this particular instance, our women and girls, to become more in terms of activism and advocacy and things of that nature. You know, remember, when you look at the 60s, the 50s and the 60s, you know, folks literally had, I guess you could call them classes. When they were doing organizing or when they were doing certain kinds of strategic moves, they would literally have sessions to practice or to, you know, to develop the skills and so forth. So again, when you look at the work that people were doing, they had study groups and other kinds of formats where people literally was able to know what to do, how to do it. So again, activism, organizing, and so forth, really there were strategic modes that people would, even in terms of the, and I'm not one, you know, to be sitting back and let somebody hit you and you just sit there, but I'm saying, you know, they at least had a form of doing it. You know what I'm saying? They trained those students to be able to endure certain things. Now, I wouldn't, but I'm just saying, we've got to now make certain that we develop certain kinds of skills and capabilities with our women and girls so that as we proceed, they're able to do certain things knowing that they have a certain level of expertise. And so, again, in today's world, when you say, like, grassroots, who's organizing on the grassroots level?
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so that's dangerous. That's very dangerous. And so the enemy is really advantage of that because most folks are so locked into the technology. And don't get me wrong, definitely use the technology. I mean, I'm going to take some classes, you know, to up my thing with technology. But my foundation is as such where the technology is secondary, right? But for most folk, the technology is the first thing. And see, the enemy is playing on that. So my point is, these people are using technology. In fact, going back to the one group, because as we know, there's two now. There's the one here in Philly that is connected on an international level, which we'll go into that more. But then you got the one on the international level when we introduce, you know, do business with the real USA, the divine and the righteous USA, United Sisters of Africa. We introduced that at the United Nations in March. Now we have sisters that are people, I'll say, that are now using that caption, knowing that that's one of our projects, knowing that we're building this movement, and that's one of the components, and because they don't have a clue about what there really is, what they're going to find is it's not going to work for them. It's not going to work because they don't understand the dynamics to it. And this is why I try to tell people, when you do grassroots organizing, there are areas in it that is almost like safety. It's almost like a safety net when you really understand it. And so when people kind of step into the, you remember we used to watch these movies and folks would be in the woods, and then you would step into something and you end up getting pulled up into the sky or pulled up in the air. Because you have walked into a trap. Remember that? Well, that's what's going to happen to some
like
people. I don't
like movies, but I think I know what you're talking about.
That's what's going to happen to some of these people. They're going to put their foot in it, and they're just going to get catapulted away somewhere because they're messing with stuff that, you know, they really don't know that it has some other dynamics to it. And so, but we will utilize these things to show people how these things operate in terms of why, as a people,
we have not advanced in certain ways that we could. Some of it has to do with the fact that we have these, what we now call Negropian bully minds, you see.
Well, I agree.
And we're
going to
start breaking that down, yeah. And you see, yeah, you're seeing it for yourself.
I agree with you. And to the second question that you asked, I would say that we have to do a better job. And somewhere along the line, we drop the ball because everywhere I turn, I'm disheartened by the surprise that I see in the eyes and the facial expressions and in the voices of people who should know better about their interactions with racism. The genuine surprise, shock, and demoralization tells me that either they don't believe what our ancestors have written, have recorded, have experienced, have articulated in speeches and biography. Either we have either dropped the ball in trying to explain the continuity of racism, the new face of racism, or they just didn't believe it. They just didn't believe that the school systems have successfully convinced the young folk today. And when I say young, I mean it in the Dr. York sense when he says now is a 30-year period. It's not today. It's, for example, from 1970 to 2000, that was now, right? So
right.
2030 to 2060 is now. But we've clearly done a lousy job of explaining what the system that we've been operating in to the young folk, and that includes anyone who's, you know, in their 30s and 40s, because I consistently hear people talking about the shock and awe of racism. Like, I can't believe they shot a black man. Like, they're saying, why would they kill that? It was just a little boy. They don't get it. Like, what do you mean, why? Why are you asking why are they doing this? This is what they do. And why are you shocked? Have you not been listening? Have you not been watching? Have you not been observing what has been happening over the past 400 years? Do you think that you have risen above your ancestors? Like, you even hear it when they're saying, we are not our ancestors. No, you are most certainly not. You are most certainly not, because the folk who were leading our revolutions during the most successful periods from, you know, the Civil War and 100 years before that up until the assassination of the kings, like Dr. Martin Luther King and all of the brothers from the Black Panthers and fellow Malcolm X, they don't believe it. They don't really believe what happened. There's just no way that they could believe it and then still express the genuine shock and awe when they try to go into a restaurant and find that they're not welcome. Like, they are genuinely shocked and they can't understand what is happening. Like, they're genuinely in disbelief that they could experience. And what they're not experiencing is not racism, it's discrimination, it's personal racism. With the real racism that they're going to learn about is what I keep referring to as the distribution, management, and control of resources. That's what they're really going to see, where racism comes in. That they're not even ready for that conversation. They're still having, you know, shock and awe and mental breakdowns because they go into an Asian-owned restaurant and find that they're not being seated first. Like, that's how you know somebody's dropped the ball. When we can get our people to stop acting like they are different and that the people who they are encountering are somehow different, then I think we're going to start seeing some genuine progress, because they're thinking these interpersonal encounters with people who don't like them, that's what racism is, and they're completely missing the point. That's what I wanted to say.
So,
thank you for that, you know, because that, you know, really, I think, puts things into a perspective that most can really comprehend. But also what I think needs to happen, and this is what MWM is going to be doing, the other shock and awe has to come from us. You see, and so you know, you have, really, I mean, you have to look at how are we going to begin to counter some of what we know is happening. And so, as you just said, you know, they seem to be like, oh, you know, I can't believe this. Well, we have to also do something that now says or, you know, indicates, wow, they, you know, and here's how, why I say that. When a few months back, we took that lock off of a building owned by the city of Philadelphia and went in and started cleaning and declaring it our building, that was one of those shock and awe moments. I mean, you're different, but still, because in the community, for people to see that, they was like, what y'all doing? And we said, we're you know, taking our building, but and they were like, what? So I'm just saying we have to come up with things that also gives a certain kind of, you know, indication of things. And I dare say that MWM with MWWM, we're going to be doing that. I want to make an announcement next week as the closeout for Black August that is going to be a little shocking because you have not heard Black women say what I'm going to say next week in terms of what we get ready to do. And so, it again, it's not the shock and awe of racism. And again, we have to now kind of even change some of that, Sister Sheila, meaning this thing is so bad now. And again, I like the phrase, the system of off-white supremacy. and again, the system, not they are, but the system. And with that, begin to, shall we say, make it even, this racism thing, it's beyond that. See, we used to talk about racism, right? And we still do. But I'm saying what we're dealing with now, what these people got going on now, oh, this is a whole nother kind of thing. Because, remember, it's so sophisticated now. Whereas before, they could do it outright and nobody would say nothing. So now that the world tends to be able to see things, you know, and then say things, now they have to figure out how they're going to kill us without being so obvious. See? So this is why it's now more in a systemic manner. It was always systemic because what was it called? The peculiar institution. It was known in the sociological world, the peculiar institution. So now we're dealing with something that is so diabolical where they had to figure out how could they do this stuff without it being so obvious? And that's what we're dealing with. So my point is, this is beyond racism. This is something else. This is a whole nother ball of wax, as they say. Right? And we've got to call it out in that manner. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, and Brother Malcolm said, you know, they call folks devils. Well, you know, wow. That's kind of had its day, but we need to be coming up with something.
Well, the last thing I wanted to comment on, since you were, you know, offering the floor for recent events, I did a talk the other day for Black August here at Sankofa Bookstore, and one of the things that I brought to the audience's attention is the fact that Black August is not just Black August for the revolutionaries, it's also Black August for the black devils that operate within our service. around the same time that the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey was organizing the first convention in Madison Square Garden in New York, W.E.B. Du Bois, William Pickens, and others were sending letters addressed and dated August 10th stating that Garvey must go. They were operating under the Pink Tea Set Society, the Blue Vein Society, and the Colonial Club, which was the Boule before Steve Coakley realized it was the Boule, right? And so these were the individuals who operated under the colored mechanism. They weren't interested in black people. In fact, they were so diabolically opposed to the color of the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey, that they were willing to forego the principles of freedom just because they couldn't tolerate it coming from what the monkey-looking man that they described him as, with jowls that were heavy and beady bright eyes and heavy jowls, as they described him, and calling him a monkey. And even referring to him as a monkey. So it's very important that we recognize that, and also the fact that when our babies, because the ancestors typically like to come in through July and August, at least the revolutionaries, as indicated by some of the major people who have led the transformative cycles in our sojourn here in this country, and even on the continent, that they come a lot of times in July and in August season, as indicated by the father of the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey, who noted that this is likely to be a leader just because of the timing of his birth. And so it's important that the women who are bringing the babies in July and August go into the hospitals cognizant, if they must go into the hospitals, that their children are at a more heightened and vulnerable risk, as indicated by the pronounced beheading that happened in July with the sister and the brother who was giving birth to a baby. But it's what still disturbs me is this mischaracterization that our people will sometimes use, because, again, they don't believe what our ancestors have been telling them. So they will say, oh, this is gross negligence or malpractice. No, this is murder. This is intentional demonic homicide. Because they know who comes in July and August, and you don't. Because they know that, like Dr. York told us years ago, one out of every 11th baby born could be a black messiah. They know that. But we don't honor and recognize what our ancestors and those revolutionaries who come to warn us have to say. And so when there is a killing at a federal level of a young black boy, we say, why did they kill that child? Why did they kill that baby? No, because they recognize that this is not a baby. This is a potential threat to off-white supremacy. This is like, you ever see those movies back in the day when we used to watch the ninja movies, and there would be all these ninjas, and they would be chasing a newborn baby, and there would be one deflective ninja, and he sees a cute little baby in the crib, and it's 1,000 ninjas falling out of trees trying to kill this one baby, and then the one, you know, soft-hearted ninja who changes his mind about murdering this little baby. Well, the other ninjas are on a mission. They see the end of the world as they know it. That's what off-white supremacy sees when they see a little 13-year-old black boy walking down the street. They see Marcus Garvey. They see Frederick Douglass. They see Baba Malcolm X. You see a little boy with a basketball walking down the street. They see the end of the world as they know it. So we have to condition our people to see the world the way their enemies see the world. They're not killing a baby. They're killing a messiah or the mother of a messiah. So that's what I wanted to say. You have a lovely night, queen.
Thank you, my sister. And listen, on that note, I'm going to play something real quick that I think Sister Manier might have sent this to me, which falls right into what you just said. So Wait a minute, hold on 1 minute. Check this out. Wait a minute, hold. I can't get the volume to go up. There we go.
If you don't hear nothing else in your damn life, sister, if you are giving birth to a child, if you plan on giving birth to a child, I need you to listen to me. Sisters, I need you to listen to me like you ain't listened to a black man before. Don't you take your ass to a hospital that you done asked 1,000 questions before you stepped your ass in there. Do you hear me, sister? I worked in the ICU the other night. I'm normally a trauma medic in the emergency room, but I picked up a shift in the ICU. And we immediately got a sister in there who had an emergency C-section, and she had internal bleeding, hemorrhaging. Now, the baby was taken out, and the sister was brought up to the ICU in critical care, critical condition. We could not figure out where she was bleeding from, and we were trying to keep this sister alive. I turned to the doctor at some point, doctor, that does not look like us, and I say, doctor, can you come take a look at her stomach? It's getting really distended, and her BP, her blood pressure, is not going down. That doctor looked at me and said, that's my patient. I'll be over there in a minute. 2 hours later, after this sister coded on that table 2 times and we had to get her back, we finally get her down to the operating room, and yeah, that hemorrhage that they thought they controlled with that emergency C-section was not controlled. She was still having internal bleeding, which was killing her. Black people, I need you to hear me. If you can get your black ass to Target, if you can go to Walmart, if you can buy and spend and do for all these corporations.
It's breaking up, and you can't thing. Hear it anymore.
You
it's breaking up,
and
you can't hear it
anymore. I don't care if you think you're annoying, the doctor thinks you're annoying, the hospital thinks you're annoying.
You couldn't hear it anymore?
Yeah, it started
Are
breaking up again. It was
oh, okay.
like, I'm here,
okay,
can you
but
hear
you
me?
Got the gist of it. Yeah, you got the gist of it, though, right? This was someone
yeah.
that worked in the hospital. And literally, I mean, his specialty was trauma or whatever, and saw what was going on with this sister and said something to the doctor, and the doctor said, yeah, but that's my patient. I'll get to it. And 2 hours later, after she had been coded twice, that's when what he said, they realized that that's what was happening, meaning she was hemorrhaging and blah, blah, blah. So going back to what you were saying, sister, about how we better really pay closer attention to what's going on in these hospitals, what's going on, and particularly with the women. And the reason why I'm raising this point is because over the years I've tolerated people, males in particular, you know, giving this thing, oh, y'all just talking about women's stuff. It's about all of us. Yeah, it is about all of us. But wait a minute, who's having the children? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense that people are not mature enough to recognize something very important here, you see, and that is the issue of two in one or taking care of one and you're actually knocking off two, you see.
Mm-hmm. And
so,
the other important thing that black folks need to The other thing that black folks need to recognize, though, is that hospitals, when in the context of black people, operate like sovereign governments. You can literally walk into a hospital and lose your right to walk out.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
He simply needs to write a simple note that says mentally unstable.
That's
and
right.
you no longer
Absolutely.
Have rights over yourself.
That's
so
right.
We have
yep.
to be really cognizant. I am so tired of seeing people going into these hospitals thinking that they are going in there as full citizens. Going
yep.
into restaurants
That's right.
thinking that you're going in as full citizens. That's the real trick of the boule, is convincing us, or a lot of us, that you are walking around with full citizenship rights.
This is why, okay. and as we proceed, we will be connecting with other government types, because we have to at least begin to put forth the effort to show that we have to deal with a level of autonomy, you see,
mm-hmm.
and becoming more of a world citizenry, world citizens. But this is a part of the We Charge Genocide mission, to begin to have us placed in, and I don't like the word status, but from a legal standpoint, we have got to assert a different status, for lack of a better word. This is also what we're getting ready to do with the Million Woman World Watch. And lastly, with that said, and again, we'll talk more about this next week, to issue the Declaration of Separation, meaning, yes, we love all of our people, but we have to distinguish who we are, what we believe, what we're striving to do. It's just like if you have a person who's a Baptist, well, look how many different types of that they got. And so they have their own distinct whatever, even though the fundamental is the same. And so this is the mode of operation with any discipline. There's different variations of it, even though the fundamental is the same. So we are going to have to assert ourselves as a people, and this is why for the future you're going to see more about what we're saying. When you hear us say we're going to have our first original peoples or original nations meeting, so that those who want to identify in such a way that we are the original people. I digress. We'll get more into that next week. Thank you, my sister. Mm-hmm. Before we close out, we have mm-hmm. one more that we want to bring in. But y'all get the gist of what we're saying. And what makes this so beautiful is it's going to be the sisters. I know some of y'all not going to like this, but what can I say? Too bad. You had your chance. It's going to be sisters that bring some things forward as mother. As mother, all right? Now, if somebody has a problem with that, that is definitely going to be your problem. Anyway, let's go to caller. Before we close out, we're going to bring in caller at 8521. 8521, your mic is now open. Welcome to the segment, The New Day.
Greetings. Welcome. Thank you. Manero calling out of Newark, New Jersey.
Yes.
Powerful, powerful, powerful broadcast. As usual, I just want to take the opportunity to thank you for covering the story that come out of Newark, New Jersey. I can't thank you enough for covering it. And let's wait on, because I inboxed the brother and his wife to mm-hmm. you know, schedule to come on the broadcast to tell their own story.
Yes.
It's just a travesty. Yes, that was one of the, you know, videos that I sent you. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm always sending
mm-hmm.
you some information.
Yep.
You know,
yes,
I want to say
a
happy Resistant Month to our listening
mm-hmm.
audience. Yes, Black August. Yes, we got to stand in the legacy and the shoulders of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Just to cover quickly, because I know you're about to close out, this incident with Raz Baraka, this is nothing new under the sun. We got not only Captain Africa, who I am glad, you know, him and others finally are waking up to see,
mm-hmm.
you know, the radical, the fake radical that Raz Baraka is. I myself, you know, came on the broadcast a couple of times, told you how they use these police as their personal guard dogs.
Mm.
Activists, you know, and it's just sad.
Mm.
You know, it's sad that we have a police force that's being used as the mayor and his brother. Not only the mayor, but his brother also have a personal police force entourage that also protects him as well. And that was the other brother that was going at him in the red and black in that video. Officers, we under a police monitor, and I don't know where God green earth is the police monitor, which is Peter Harvey. Where's this guy? This guy is getting millions of dollars. Police monitor to allow this to happen under him being a monitor. We have a federal monitor here that is just turning a blind eye on this police and governmental terrorism. Like you said, no other way to describe what is going on with this administration. They ban people out the meetings. People who stand up, employees, have been attacked. We had the Corporation Council who gave this man a heart attack showing up to this man's house who was one of his employees. They have a laundry list of harassment and lawsuits for rising residents, terrorizing employees, terrorizing seniors, terrorizing candidates who want to change the system, who want to vote against them, to vote them out.
Wow.
Documented. But I just wanted to say thank you for covering it. We have to do something. We have to do something about these fake activists. Something about these Negro-pean saboteurs and distorters who are trying to sabotage our movement, who are trying to take away our free speech and our right to assemble and petition failed government. The last I heard under the Constitution that we have a right to petition our grievance to failed government. We have a right to defend ourselves. We have a right. It seems like folks who are supposed to be revolutionary, come from a revolutionary family, where on God's green earth you know somebody of that caliber with family members that come from a history of fighting against police terrorism and police political terrorism? How dare these people could have sit by and turn a blind eye on what is going on? All these organizations, all these human rights organizations, we got POP organizations, we got where's the New African Panther Party where Captain Africa is a part of? People are outraged for saying anything.
Something's got to be done. And this is, again, my sister, why those of us who know what has to be done, we now just have to do it. I mean, we've talked about it for quite a while, but now we're going to start sharing some of the Black Print Agenda 25, which is what we'll be presenting in October as a part of the Million Woman World March/movement. We have a Planet Action family, and with that said, as Sister Sheila mentioned earlier, you know, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, but I do want to give one point of clarity because you said that, you know, Steve Coakley called it the boule. Technically, the boule, the Negro-Pean boule, started in 1904. So it was at the time of the Honorable Marcus Garvey, and their name was, in fact, boule. If you look it up, the fraternity, and it was started here in Philadelphia, by the way, and it started in 1904. So place as such, during the time of the Honorable Marcus Garvey developing the UNIA ACL movement. So this stuff is, we're talking about over 100 that this thing has been in existence. So people need to be real clear about what we're talking about here. This is not no imaginary stuff. I can show you the documents. And so, again, the home is Philadelphia, you see. But we'll go into that at another time as well. But again, family, we're going to get ready to close out. I want to thank all of you for tuning into this session. Remember, Monday, 7:30, special edition. We'll be, of course, commemorating Ancestor Nat Turner, but also we'll bring you the report, and we'll be on Zoom and Facebook as well as our blog. So this time, if there's any problems, they're going to have to work real hard to shut us down this time. Now, I mean, not, you know, hey, they got all the control, so they can do it any way they want to, but I'm just saying we're going to cover every base that we can. So, again, Monday, 7:30, we'll be sending out the information, and if for whatever reason you miss it tomorrow, you can just text us at 267-636-3802 or email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. One final word, and it is, going back to the Honorable Marcus Garvey, we are looking to bring forward 1 million members for MWM. 1 in 1 million. That's our new membership drive. It's called 1 in 1 million. Starts with $1. We want 1 million members. Now, if we can't do that in the 21st century when the Honorable Marcus Garvey did it in the early 1900s with PAL and Cash App and the Internet and all of that, they had 100-plus members. I'm sorry, 1 million-plus members. If we can't do that, and that, not like we're trying to copy or anything like that, we need to raise our own money. It's just as simple. We also need folk who are willing to support. And again, if you can't do that with $1, I mean, we hope you'll, you know, do more for the membership because we have a whole array of it. But we're saying right now, as a part of our 25-year commemoration closing out, we need to see 1 million members, y'all. We've earned that. We've earned it. So now, again, next week, we're going to give you a lot of information. Brother David is working on the website. For those of you who are in business or those who are in a group or organization or you want to be a patron, please think about putting your ad in the National Black Unity News. The next edition will be coming out in October, but you have from now until September the 15th to get your ad in. We're asking folks to put your ad in support of the Million Woman World March. Again, if you want more information, you can text us or email us, and we'll send you the link so you can see the last edition. The National Black Unity News is both hard copy and online. You can't lose. You not only are going to get advertising, you'll be supporting us. This is a partnership that we call Ujima Ujima Partners. Cooperative economics, cooperative work and responsibility. So, again, we'll give you a lot of information next week about how we're bringing these things forward. All right, family, listen, we're going to close this session out. Starting next week, we will also have sessions for sisters starting next Sunday. We had to move the time into next week, but starting next week, we are beginning to have sessions for sister African women development sessions, black women's development and sister sessions, so that we can begin to bring forward a code of conduct and other things that is relevant to us as women that we are developing and will agree upon. And one of the first things we're going to ask sisters to do is stop calling our children kids. Something that simple, believe it or not. We have to deal with some self-discipline. And one of the things we're proposing as a moratorium is stop calling our children kids, because that's really a white folks thing. We never did that years ago.
We never call our children no kids. And so as an action step, from a mental, psychological standpoint, we are enacting certain codes of conduct to begin to differentiate who we are as the original woman. Anyway, y'all, a little more about that next week also. So Sister Manira, I thank you. Of course, my ambassador.
Can I make
Sister Sheila.
Another?
Yep.
Can I say something also? And I'm trying to look for the caricature. But there's a caricature that's out. So like when they trying to say we all under attack, brothers and sisters. Like there was a caricature
that's right.
I seen where they had the brother being shot, and they had the Klan man shooting and the cops shooting the brother, and they had the Klan looking over the lady while she was in the hospital bed. So they shoot the brothers, and they taking us out of here in the hospitals, like the brother said on that videotape. And that's being done. You know, they circumcising our sisters. They causing, you know, these miscarriages. Like they pulled the head out. It was a caricature done, and I'm going to find it, and I'm going to send it to you so you can see it for yourself. So all of that, you know, like we women, and we supposed to stand up for ourselves. We supposed to expose what's going on. I'm so sick and tired of when we speak up about woman issues, that it's always that we got to be this, we got to be all these names under the sun. And it's about all of us. If we about the black nation, regardless of what we are, why can't we speak up for ourselves and cover issues that are happening directly to us? We are all under attack. Stop this.
This is what I know, sister. This is what I now know. You're absolutely correct, but unfortunately, we will have to prove that point. In other words, to keep having that, and not to say that we won't keep talking about it, but we have to create whatever it is that says that so that people will stop messing with us like that. The one thing I've learned in these past two decades is to examine how do you get people off of you, or how do you lessen their capability to, you know, to be able to either attack you or want to or whatever. And I'm going to tell you what I've learned, and this is how we're going to proceed. The one thing I know about the nation over the years, particularly a few years ago, not so much now, but in this community here in Philly and in other communities, there was a lot of respect for the nation of Islam. And one of the main reasons was because of the fruit of Islam. You see? And so this is the assessment that I've come into. And again, we're going to talk more about this very, very soon. And it's this. A brother told me this a few years ago. And he was in the nation as a child. He grew up in the nation. And what he told me was, he's like in his 50s or so now, but what he told me was that if you cannot protect your ranks or your flanks, I think that's how he called it, then you're not going to get respect. That's just the bottom line. So we can keep complaining or talking about, well, you know, they're just going to, well, we know that. Until we are representing in such a way that people see that we're very serious and we are not going to allow people to just get away as easily with, you know, doing this, that, and the other to us, then they're going to keep doing it. That's the nature of the beast. They're going to keep doing it. So our position now has to be, nope. Not if we can help it. We have to develop and create whatever apparatuses it is so that they know you mess with these sisters right here,
that's not going to be a good play. Because other than that, they're going to keep doing it. So I'm just saying, that's the next step. The next step is, what are we going to do? And next week, I'm going to start conveying what some of that is. And believe you me, it is very, it's going to be very interesting, and it's very serious. Because we're not going to keep allowing people to, you know, to character assassinate us unnecessarily, to definitely, you know, create any kind of harm to us. We can't keep allowing it. We keep asking people to protect and defend, but we know how that's going. But at the same time, we also have to make sure that with our sisters, we're helping to deal with a greater state of morality. We have to be responsible enough to do that too. So like you said, Sister Manir, it's about all of us. And so we got to also look at what we need to do to also make sure, to the best of our ability, that we're not, you know, just opening the door to let people do things to us. We got to do that as well. Anyway, before we go close out, I do see there's two people in queue, and I hate leaving people in queue, so I'm going to go to them real quick, real quick, y'all, and get whatever comments real quick, and then we're going to close out. Caller, you are at 9498. Quick comment from you. Your mic is open. 9498.
Sister Filet, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey, Brother Ray Ray. All right. How you been?
I see when you sent me the text, hello, Philly family and the Blog Talk Radio family, when you sent me the text for the Garvey thing, you didn't
yes.
go, did you?
No, I didn't.
No, okay, good news. It turned, we was there, but it didn't, a little couple of problems happened, so. But I was listening to the tape, pieces of it, with
right.
Raspberry. I don't know why everybody would think, you know, just because his father was a. Kind of all right doesn't mean the son gonna do it once you get into politics.
Yeah, I know, but you know
we got the
I mean,
we got the
and,
same
and
thing.
Right.
You know, everybody was thinking that he was gonna do this and that, and it ain't go that way. He's in the pockets of the big people, and look what we got in New York. Look what's happening in Chicago. These Jews got all these
yeah.
Negroes under their thumb and these boules. They got them all. And they got everybody silent. Nobody is chastising them. Nobody in New York is saying they're just letting this mayor in New York just do anything for everybody else.
Right.
Look
right.
at
That's
what
why I like
you
the
had
brother.
The you had the guy on. You had the gentleman on months ago talking about
mm-hmm.
that school. You
mm-hmm.
had him on your program months ago saying what they was going to do with that school, and they threw the migrants right in there in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
These weaponized Negroes, all of them, Adams, James, they all under Soros, Boulez, and they down south, they got all these DAs trying to get Trump on so many charges, but they can't get together and pass a bill to protect black folks.
Right. And
I mean,
and
every
then,
black
right,
person,
right, right.
yeah, every, yeah. It's sad and nobody's
to.
Up in arms. They getting ready to sock
right.
it to New York. You come down in the bus or whatever, you come down in the car, you're going to pay the Harlem Tunnel, then they're going to hit you when you come in Manhattan. They stopped this congestion pricing for years when that filthy rich Bloomberg petition and then they allow it to go through with Adams. And he got a chancellor that ain't worth 2 cents. He got the commissioners and all of them. And, I mean, you talking about Raj Baraka. He ain't got nothing on what they're doing in New York and Chicago and all these other places. So it's just a whole bunch of them. And they will talk tough to me and other regular people. You let them Jews say something.
All right, my brother.
So I'm sorry, Raz is not his father.
Well, we
right.
got
well, we've been through that.
Yeah, he's not his father. And Adams, forget this guy in New York.
Can you hear me?
Forget him.
Go ahead, Sister Manera. Go ahead, Sister Manera.
The matter is that when he campaigned before his father died, we have a video of him saying that he would never capitulate. He would never join them. He would never turn his back on his people, not on his watch. So I could say.
Well, they said that's the same thing the mayor. The same thing the mayor of New York said.
Well.
The same thing Adams said.
You made a comment that now he's not going to be like his father. But I was just saying to you, we have words coming out of his mouth. He campaigned against the very people that he's eating bread out of their hand right now in pictures, out of white Jewish people in hand. This man said out of his own mouth that he will not capitulate. He will not be like them.
So
the mayor of New York said,
out of his own mouth.
The mayor of New York out of his own mouth said that if it was him, he would have got with the union and got the city workers back to work. As soon as he got in there, he flipped and kept everything in place. They're called weaponized Negroes.
So here we are, family. Here we are, 2023, right? Where's our party or parties? Where's our whatever? Because as long as we keep thinking that these other people are going to do right by us, then the next generation and the following generation will continue to have this conversation.
We almost had a Freedom Party, and the Democratic Party destroyed the Freedom Party and them Boulay Negroes.
I'm
glad you didn't come to that Marcus Garvey thing. Of course, let me tell you, they had some nonsense going on down there in the name of Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey probably said, hold up, something ain't right. So, all right. No, they got some weaponized Negroes, and they got some weaponized Negroes from Raj Baraka to Eric Adams to the guy. I don't see how the people in Chicago put that phony baloney in there. And you had the guy on the show about the black school. I don't see how they put the bulldagger in there. The one before him. But they all remember the Boule. They all weaponized Negroes that Soros and them put in there. The only thing black people can say about Trump is he's a racist. And they're going to vote for Biden. They're going to take them shots. They're going to do us in again.
Well, I'll find them. Listen, we got to close out. We are running way
weaponized
over.
Negroes.
One more person I need to bring in. And this caller is at 94. And then we're going to close this thing out. This caller is at 9462. 9462, your mic is open. Welcome to this segment of New Day.
Real quick, from the caboose, three things. We still delivering babies out of the sight and knowledge of our enemies. We're still educating our children, K through 12 and beyond, out of the sight and view of our enemies. And the third, Uganda just passed some laws where it's illegal to treat transgender, gay, and all the other alphabet people. And Uganda always seems to step up and lead the pack, and I yield.
Thank you, Mama. All right, family, listen, we've got to go because we are now like almost a half an hour over. I want to thank everybody, though, for tuning in and sharing. And, again, special edition on Monday and also Wednesday. Wednesday is International Day of the Remembrance of the Slave Trade and its Abolishment. So we'll be talking about the 13th Amendment and modern-day slavery. When are we going to start striving for full emancipation? We'll have that conversation on Wednesday. What do we need to do in order to get that? These are some of the focuses now for MWWM, and we're going to introduce the Black Print Agenda 25 and some of the other things that we've been working on for the past decade that's now ready. But again, family, we got to go right about now. We thank you all for tuning in. And again, remember Monday we'll have the brother's mother on along with Sister Crystal Muhammad from the New Black Panther Party. There's three of them, so this is one from the Texas area. This is a little different. At any rate, we'll talk to you on Monday and on Wednesday, and get ready for next week when we bring you some really interesting stuff coming up for MWWM, including our first ancestral celebration of life. It's going to be an annual festival, and we'll be bringing it to other cities. This is what our movement is now about. All right, Mama Condi, I thank you much for always chiming in. Sister Manira, of course, Brother Ray Ray, and Sister Sheila, we thank all of you. And, of course, our guest earlier, Brother Shep. And remember, tomorrow they're naming a street Black Panther Party Way. Wow, that's what I'm talking about. Anyway. Thank you all. And, oh, don't forget, go check out the Emmett Till petition because what the brother was talking about is very, very important. We need to get all of the transcripts. And this day and age, that's certainly doable. So, again, we'll be revisiting that information next week as well. All right, family, listen, we're going to close out. We thank you all. We're going to figure out what's going on with being able to hear us a little clearer. We're going to work on that and see if we can upgrade some things. But at any rate, we're going to keep it moving. And remember, know what they say, and Brother Ray Ray can chime in on this one because he's real familiar, and we heard Brother Dave say it earlier as well. He said, if there's no justice, there's no what, y'all? There ain't going to be no peace. There ain't going to be no peace. That's right. And so, again, you know, we're going to keep that spirit in our midst. Talk to y'all next week. Have a blessed one.